After the Rajasuya, Indraprastha had become unlimitedly opulent. The roads, streets, and lanes were sprinkled daily with perfumed water. Huge white mansions stood along the sides of the wide avenues. Jeweled gates and arches, golden water pots at their sides, stood at the city's crossroads. All the citizens were dressed in colorful silks and adorned with garlands and gold ornaments. They felt secure under the Pandava's rule. Every day, more and more kings were arriving in Indraprastha from other countries, coming to pay tribute. Yudhishthir sat in the Maya Sabha with his brothers. When they were not engaged in affairs of state, they enjoyed hearing spiritual instructions from the Brahmanas. As they were seated one day, listening to the rishis recounting ancient Vedic histories, a guard arrived to announce Vidura's arrival. Yudhishthir immediately stood up to receive him. He loved Vidura, who had always shown them so much care from childhood. With tears in his eyes, Yudhishthir bowed at his uncle's feet. As he rose, he saw Vidura's expression and said, "O Vidura, your mind seems disturbed. Do you come in peace? Is the king well? Are his sons obedient to their old father? And are the people obedient to his rule?" Taking his seat close to the Pandavas, Vidura replied, "The illustrious monarch and his relatives are well. Surrounded by his sons and ministers, he reigns like Indra. But he is bent upon his own aggrandizement. The king ordered me to first inquire after your welfare, and then inform you that he has constructed a hall equal to yours. He wishes you to come and see it, and to enjoy a game of dice with your cousins." Yudhishthir glanced across at his brothers, and then back to Vidura. He was immediately apprehensive. "O Vidura, if we gamble, we shall probably fight. How can I possibly consent to the king's proposal? What do you think I should do?" "Gambling is the root of all misery," Vidura said. "I tried to dissuade Dhritarashtra, but he could not hear my advice. Thus he has sent me here to bring you to Hastinapur. It seems that Duryodhan desires a game in which Shakuni will match his skills with yours. The blind king has granted his permission, and now he wishes you to come at once." Knowing that it was Dhritarashtra who had sent the invitation, Yudhishthir felt obliged to go. He had vowed never to refuse his elder's orders. Even though he was now emperor of the world, Dhritarashtra was a respectable superior. Yudhishthir then said, "I have no desire to gamble, but if I am challenged, I will not be able to refuse, because the Kshatriya code is to always accept a challenge. Surely this world moves according to the will of Supreme Providence. All-powerful fate deprives us of our reason, and we move according to its dictates, as if bound by a rope." I will come to Hastinapur on King Dhritarashtra's command. Yudhishthir knew that Shukuni was a gifted dice player. The Gandhara monarch was familiar with every secret of the game. But Yudhishthir also knew that he could only win if the Lord ordained it. No one moved independently of the Supreme Lord's desire. If the Lord desired that Yudhishthir lose his wealth, then what could he do? He simply had to accept it as part of a divine scheme meant ultimately for his own good. He thus ordered his brothers to make themselves ready to travel. The party left the following day. With the Brahmins walking before him, Yudhishthir proceeded on a golden chariot, followed by his brothers. Attired in royal robes and golden ornaments, they entered Dhritarashtra's palace, where they were greeted by the kings and his sons, along with Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Kripa, and the other kings whom Dhritarashtra had invited. They were then shown to beautifully furnished rooms, where they settled for the evening. After going through their daily physical exercises and their religious rites, they were offered the best of food. Dancers and singers entertained them as they ate. Then, after the Brahmins had blessed them, the Pandavas retired for the night. The women from Indraprastha entered the ladies' quarters. All of Dhritarashtra's daughters-in-law were filled with envy to see their beauty and prosperity. After exchanging greetings with the Kaurava women, Draupadi and the other Pandava queens rested for the night on ivory beds covered with soft mattresses and spread with pure white silk. In the morning, the Pandavas were brought to the new assembly hall. Amid the sound of drums and other instruments, they took their places on jeweled seats covered with costly rugs. The hall was crowded with kings from many provinces, and with Dhritarashtra sitting at their head. Duryodhana and Shakuni sat opposite the Pandavas, and they were both smiling. When Yudhishthir was settled, the assembly became silent, and Shakuni said, "We have all been waiting for you, O King Yudhishthir. The hall is full, and we are eager to play dice." Yudhishthir answered, "O King, there is no prowess to be found in deceitful dice playing. Indeed, it is bereft of morality. Why then do you wish us to play?" Shakuni raised his eyebrows. "We do not wish to be deceitful, O Yudhishthir. It is simply a friendly match. We can fix the stakes so that no one is injured." "The great Rishi Devla has instructed me that one should not engage in playing with a professional gamester," Yudhishthir replied. "O Shakuni, do not try to take from me the wealth which I must use to serve the Brahmins. Even enemies should not be vanquished by desperate stakes in deceitful play. And I have no desire to win more wealth by gambling. So why should I play with you?" Shakuni laughed. O king, obviously one plays dice to win something. If you are afraid of me, or if you feel I have dishonest motives, then don't play. Yudhishthira looked up at the Kuru elders. They were all sitting silently. Both Bhishma and Vidura sat with their heads down. After Vidura, Bhishma had also tried unsuccessfully to dissuade the king from allowing the gambling match, and Bhishma had attended it reluctantly. Dhritarashtra sat on his splendid throne, listening carefully to the discussion. Yudhishthira said, O Shakuni, when challenged, I never refuse. That is my vow. Fate, however, is all-powerful. We are all under the sway of destiny, and whatever is ordained will surely come to pass. With whom can I play in this assembly? Who can stake equally with me? Yudhishthira knew that Shakuni, although more skilled at the game, could not match Yudhishthira's wealth, and was thus not a suitable opponent for him. But Duryodhan quickly said, I shall supply gems, gold, and other wealth, O king. Let Shakuni cast the dice on my behalf. Yudhishthira raised his eyebrows. It was exactly as he had feared. Obviously, this was no friendly match. He raised his objections in a firm voice. I have never heard that one man plays while another stakes. Oh, Duryodhan, this is not within the rules of the game. Yudhishthira again looked at the elders, but none of them spoke. Duryodhan laughed and repeated that if Yudhishthira was afraid, then he should not play. Shakuni smiled and rolled the dice in his hands. The sound of the ivory dice striking together rose above the silence in the hall. Seeing Dhritarashtra's complicity, Yudhishthira said, So, if it is your desire, Duryodhan, then let the game begin. The Pandava took up a priceless string of pearls from his neck. Here is my stake, O king. Now, with what shall you wager against me? Duryodhan replied, I have wealth counted in the millions and tens of millions, but I am not proud of it. I shall equal all that you stake. Throw the dice, Shakuni, and let us see who wins. Shakuni called out a number and threw the dice. As the dice came to a stop on the number he had called out, he cried out, Just see! I have won! Yudhishthira said, In a game contrived only for my defeat, you have won by unfair means, O king. You feel happy? Let the game continue. I have many beautiful jars, each filled with 1,000 gold coins. These shall be my next stake. Yudhishthira cast the dice and called out his number, but they fell differently. Shakuni again took up the dice. He closed his eyes and held them tight. Then he called for a number 8. The dice rolled across the polished wooden board and came to a stop on 8. Shakuni pointed to the device, and like an excited child said, "See? I have won again!" His laughing voice echoed around the hall. Yudhishthir remained impassive. He had little chance of defeating Shakuni at the game. The Gandhara king had practically made dice his life and soul. He played always with experts. Backed by Duryodhan's resources, Shakuni would also be impossible to overcome at staking. Yudhishthir then said, "I now stake my sacred, victorious, and splendid chariot, which is equal to 1,000 other chariots. It is made of refined gold and covered with tiger skins. Its wheels resound like thunder when it is driven, and it is adorned with 1,000 bells. It is drawn by 8 horses as white as moonbeams and swifter than the wind itself." It was now Shakuni's turn to cast the dice. He called out his number, and the dice fell as if at his command. "I win!" His voice mixed with the laughter of Duryodhan and his brothers. They now taunted Yudhishthir. "What will you stake next, O Emperor?" Yudhishthir sat surrounded by his brothers. All of them glared at Duryodhan. Arjuna reached over and touched Yudhishthir's shoulder. He shook his head slightly as his elder brother turned toward Yudhishthir. But Yudhishthir said, "I have 100,000 serving girls who are all young and richly adorned with costly garments and gold ornaments, and are all skilled in the 64 arts of service, especially dancing and singing. At my command, they wait upon celestials, Brahmins, and kings. These shall be my next stake." "Consider it matched," said Duryodhan with a smile. Once again, Yudhishthir failed to throw the number he called out. But Shakuni rolled the dice with consummate skill and won the throw. "Aha! I win again!" Meanwhile, on the royal podium, Dhritarashtra leaned forward and eagerly asked Vidura, "What was the stake? What was won?" Vidura moved uneasily. He could not tolerate seeing the Pandavas being robbed by such deceitful means. He watched in pain as Yudhishthir lost throw after throw. The Pandava staked thousands of elephants, chariots, celestial horses, and countless other animals. He put up hundreds of thousands of soldiers with all their weapons and armory. Precious stones, gold, and other valuable metals were staked by Yudhishthir as he became gripped by the fever of the game. All that could be heard was Yudhishthir calling out the stake and Shakuni crying out, "I have won again!" And that, along with the Kauravas' loud laughter. Bhima was seething with anger. From the time that Duryodhan had tried to poison him, Bhima had longed to face the Kaurava prince in an open and fair fight. This kind of devious and cowardly antagonism was unbearable. Without Yudhishthir's order, however, Bhima could say or do nothing. Arjuna also longed to string his bow and challenge his guileful cousins to open combat. But Arjuna also felt constrained by Yudhishthir. Arjuna could only watch in agony as the Pandavas were humiliated by the sneering Duryodhan and his brothers. Vidura could tolerate no more. He stood up suddenly and within everyone's hearing said to Dhritarashtra, "O King, listen carefully. I shall now say something which will be disagreeable to you, just as medicine is disagreeable to a dying man. When that sinful wretch, your son Duryodhan, was born, and when he cried like a jackal, I told you then and there to reject him. But you did not accept my advice. Although it was clear he would be the cause of the destruction of our whole house, can you not now see that prophecy coming to pass?" The game stopped. All the kings stared at Vidura. Duryodhan scowled, but his father remained silent. Vidura continued to speak. "Now hear the ancient advice of Shukra, the celestial rishi. Those who seek to collect honey from a high place become so absorbed in their aim that they do not see the drop that awaits them. Ascending to dangerous heights, they fall and perish. Your son Duryodhan, maddened by gambling, is the collector of honey, creating hostilities with the powerful Pandavas. He does not see the fall which soon awaits him." Vidura looked straight at the blind king as he spoke. Vidura reminded Dhritarashtra how how evil kings have been rejected and slain by their own people in order to save their dynasty. Similarly, the Kauravas should reject Duryodhan. The king should order Arjuna to kill him at once. "In this way, O king, purchase these peacocks, the Pandavas, at the cost of this crow. Do not sink into an ocean of grief for the sake of one crooked family member. There was once a bird that vomited gold. A foolish king obtained this bird and out of greed killed it in order to enjoy the gold more quickly. Thus he destroyed both his present and future happiness. O Dhritarashtra, do not imitate that foolish king by persecuting the Pandavas for the sake of their wealth. Instead, be like the flower seller who cherishes his trees with affection and thus picks flowers from them continuously." Vidura warned Dhritarashtra of the consequences of forming an enmity with the Pandavas, while not even the celestials could face them in battle. "If the gambling continues, there will be war within, and the Kauravas and all their allies will be destroyed. Dhritarashtra, you will be the cause of this war, because you alone have the power to stop your son. Still, you remain silent. I can see that you are enjoying your son's success. A man who follows another's heart, even against his own better judgment, only sinks into affliction, like a man going to sea in a boat guided by a child. O king, do not follow a wretch into the terrible fire that has blazed forth. when Ajatashatru and his brothers are robbed of their kingdom and they become angry, who will be your refuge in that hour of confusion? Why do you seek the Pandava's wealth? You can earn as much as you like without gambling. You should win instead these tigers among men who are worth more than any amount of wealth. Send the Shakuni back to Gandhara. Do not wage a war that will ultimately destroy you to your roots. Duryodhan could take no more. He leapt to his feet. Seeing that his father remained silent, he rebuked Vidura harshly. Now we can see your true nature, Vidura. Rejecting those who maintain you, you side with the enemy. Oh, Vidura, there is no greater sin than injuring one's supporter. How do you not fear this sin? You are shameless, ungrateful, and disobedient to your elders. Why do you accuse me? Where is my fault? As water flows downwards, so I act how my nature dictates. I have received my nature from the Supreme. It is He who controls all men's actions. Vidura, you may go wherever you please, but we cannot shelter enemies or those who are envious of their own protectors. An unchaste wife, however well treated, always forsakes her husband. Vidura shook his head in despair. He again addressed Dhritarashtra. O King, tell me honestly what you think of those who reject the advice I have given. Surely a king's heart is unsteady. They grant protection one moment, then strike with weapons the next. Vidura then turned to Duryodhan. O Prince, you consider me foolish, but consider instead him to be a fool who ignores a well-wisher's advice. There are plenty of sinful men in this world who will speak agreeable words, but one who speaks what is disagreeable but beneficial is rare. Such a man is a king's true friend, who, without considering what is agreeable or not, still speaks and acts only according to virtue. Duryodhan laughed derisively. Fie on old Vidura! What good can he do for us? Ignoring Duryodhan's rebuke, Vidura pointed to the Pandavas. Here are five enraged serpents with venom in their eyes. Do not arouse them further. O great king, drink that which is drunk by the honest and shunned by the dishonest. What is that? Humility. Humility is a bitter, pungent, burning, unintoxicating, and revolting medicine. But you should drink it deeply and regain your sobriety. I bow to you and wish you well. Act swiftly now to avert the calamity that has arrived at our door. Bhadura took his seat near Dhritarashtra. But still the blind king remained silent. Duryodhan laughed and turned back to the game. He told Shukuni to continue, and the Gandhara king asked Yudhishthir, "So, O king, you have lost much wealth. Tell me now, do you still have more with which you can stake?" Yudhishthir replied, "O son of Subala, I have gold counted in tens of thousands, millions, tens of millions, billions, hundreds of billions, and even more. All of this I shall stake here and now. Throw again." Shukuni smiled, and as he cast the dice, as if charmed, the dice fell upon whatever number he called. Again and again his voice rose above the silence in the hall, "I have won!" Yudhishthir played like a man possessed. He seemed intent on losing everything. He staked all of his innumerable cows, horses, goats, sheep, and other animals. Having lost his entire wealth, he then staked his kingdom itself. But that too was lost. And Shukuni says, "O king, it appears that you have lost everything." Yudhishthir's head hung down and sweat covered his face. Surely it was time to end the game. But something within him impelled him to continue. He thought of Krishna. If only Krishna was present, he would certainly save the situation. But Krishna was the supreme controller of everything. Perhaps Krishna may still arrange for him to get back all that he had lost. Yet, what was there left to stake? Yudhishthir looked at his brothers. The hall remained silent as Yudhishthir replied to Shukuni, "Here is the youthful and fair complexion Nakula, adorned with gold and jewels, shining like a celestial. This mighty armed prince shall be my next stake." Moments later, Shukuni's voice was heard again. "Lo, I have won! I have won!" Yudhishthir breathed heavily. By his side, Bhim and Arjuna both clenched their fists in silent fury as Yudhishthir turned toward Sahadev. "This handsome prince, Sahadev, administers justice exactly like Yamaraj, and he has acquired reputation for learning in this world. Although he does not deserve to be staked, still, I shall play with such a dear object. Sahadev will be my stake." The dice were rolled, and the monotonous voice rang out again, "Jasi, I have won Sahadev also." Shukuni looked at Yudhishthir with cunning in his eyes. "It seems that Bhima and Arjuna are more dear to you than Madri's sons, for they have not yet been staked." Yudhishthir's eyes turned red with anger. "Fool! Disregarding morality, you sinfully try to create the disunion among us who are of all one heart." Shukuni, not wanting the game to end, replied hastily, O king, in the excitement of a play, a gambler may say things which he would never otherwise utter. I bow to you. Oh, you are senior to me in every way. Let us now continue. Yudhishthir looked at Arjuna. Surely Krishna would not allow his own dear friend to be lost. He who takes us like a boat to the other shore of battle, who is ever victorious over foes, and who is the greatest hero in this world, with that prince as my stake, do I now play. Duryodhan leaned forward eagerly as Shakuni threw the dice. Karna sat silently next to Duryodhan. He was happy to be seeing his friend winning the game. But Karna would have preferred a fair fight with the Pandavas on the battlefield. Dushasan and the other brothers of Duryodhan rubbed their hands in glee as the dice stopped. Shakuni cried out once more, "I have won!" Shakuni gathered up the dice and looked at Yudhishthir, who sat downcast and shocked. "We have now won this foremost of bowmen, O king. Stake the powerful Bhima, the only wealth you have left." Yudhishthir shook his head. There was no turning back. Slowly he replied, "Although he does not deserve to be staked, I now play with this prince. He is our leader, who fights like the thunderbolt wielder Indra. This illustrious hero, with the lion-like neck, arched eyebrows and expansive eyes, who cannot tolerate any insult, whose prowess is unmatched in this world, and who grinds all foes, is now staked. Roll the dice." Bhima looked at Duryodhan with narrowed eyes. He longed to grasp the sneering prince by the neck, but without Yudhishthir's permission, he remained still. The dice rolled unrelenting onto the number called by Shakuni. Bhima was lost. Laughing again, Shakuni said, "O king, you have lost your gold, you have lost your jewels, your animals, your kingdom, and now you have even lost your brothers. Is there anything still remaining that you can stake?" Yudhishthir looked up at Shakuni. "I alone am left, the eldest of my brothers and beloved by all of them. If you win me, then I shall do whatever a slave is obliged to do." Shakuni released the dice and called out, "You are one!" He then turned to all the kings in the assembly and proudly boasted how he had won the Pandavas one by one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.